One of the joys of preaching in different churches each week is to enjoy the beautiful buildings that people have. And this modern building is very beautiful. But it lacks one thing that a non-conformist, at least a Baptist church, would definitely have. A Baptist church would be very sure to have a clock where the preacher can see it. Not that it makes any difference. I've forgotten my watch, so I'm going to use my little stopwatch here. Then we'll put it there, and it may make a difference as we go through. I said to Charles that today was going to be a confessional sermon. I will be confessing my faults to the congregation. He said he didn't know if we had time for that. I will limit myself to confessing just one fault. Let's pray together. Father, we pray that your word now will be preached with boldness and clarity under the anointing of your Spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Sometimes we just say the wrong things, don't we? I'm very sympathetic with Peter. Jesus turned and looked at his disciples and he rebuked Peter. "Get behind me, Satan," he said. "You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns." I feel really sorry for Peter. After all, Peter had just said, just a few minutes before, exactly the right thing. "But what about you?" Jesus asked. "Who do you say that I am?" Peter answered, "You are the Messiah." Peter was so right, so correct in all ways. He was theologically correct. He was precise. He was helpful to the others. He spoke what the others felt. Just a few minutes, Peter had been so right, so correct. I started preaching when I was a teenager. And you would think after all these years I'd be better at it, but practice doesn't always make perfect. And sometimes during those years of preaching, I've said things that were helpful. Sometimes I've said things that were theologically correct. Sometimes I've said things that were right. Sometimes the sermons have been quite good. And then Peter, come back to our gospel story. Peter began to talk, Jesus began to talk about his plan to go to Jerusalem. What was going to happen to him when he was there? And the Bible says he spoke plainly about this. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But when Jesus turned and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter. "Get behind me, Satan," he said. "You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns." Peter was so wrong. He didn't, that this time he didn't understand what God's plan was. He was unhelpful to the mission of Jesus in the things that he said. I've been a preacher since I was a teenager. And sometimes I've said things that were wrong. Sometimes I didn't understand God's plan. Sometimes I said things that were downright unhelpful. I'll give you a few examples. I used to have a particular view about ecumenism, about churches working together. If the other churches were as good as ours, they'd be with us, wouldn't they? They'd be part of us. I mellowed a little bit so that I could get as far as talking about like-minded churches. Like-minded churches means churches that agreed with me about everything. I would have this view that if you didn't believe the gospel exactly the way I'd understood it, then you were probably not going to heaven. Anyway, how much time have I got? I might tell you a little story. I've got time. I had a dream, and I dreamt that I'd gone to heaven. I was being shown around heaven, and in the gospel it says, in my Father's house there are many mansions or many rooms. And I was being shown around. And they said, "This is the room where we have Anglican worship. It's really good. This is the room where we have Methodist worship. This is the room where we have Baptist worship. This is the room we have worship from the church that you come from. But be quiet, because they think they're the only ones here. And that's how it was. We thought we were the only ones there. I was wrong about legalism. I would preach a very, for a church that talks so much about God's grace, we had a lot of rules you had to follow. When I was growing up, we couldn't go to the pictures. Couldn't go to the pictures even to watch a Disney film, because somebody might see you going in, and then that might give them permission to go and watch the film that was later at night, and so you didn't go to the pictures. It was okay to wait 3 years until it came around on television. That was quite acceptable. It was the same with our clothes. You see, you didn't dress fashionably. Something I still haven't got out of. Because that was worldly. So what? My mum was really pleased about this, because what it meant is she waited until all the stuff was on sale because it was out of fashion, and then she'd go along and buy it for me. Great plan. And as I grew up, I continued with legalistic preaching. I handled scripture in a really dodgy way. Sometimes people ask me, how can people get caught up with extremist groups? Well, I understand it completely. Because as a teenager, in my late teens, I was caught up with an extremist group. They were utterly benign. They weren't a violent extremist, but they were extremists. And they handled the scripture in a strange way. So they read in the Bible that Jesus sent out his followers and said, don't take any money for the journey. Don't take a change of clothes. Just go out and preach. And they said, that's what we'll do. So they sent us out. They called it the faith trek. I was based in London. And they sent us out to Margate without any money. It was days before mobile phones, so we had 10p in our pocket in case there was an absolute emergency and we could call them and tell them we could put the 10p in the phone box and you could come back. And they sent us out to Margate. So we hitchhiked our way to Margate. We knocked some doors. We witnessed to a few people. It got dark. Nobody invited us in. No one gave us a room for the night. We wandered round a bit. We found the toilets were open. We slept in the loos the night and got up the next morning and knocked people's doors and witnessed to them. And then hitchhiked all the way back to London again, because that's the way we handled scripture. That's the way we thought you could handle scripture. And when as I preached, I still handled scripture in that way, making inappropriate applications. There are many other things that I could go on and illustrate, things I've said wrong from pulpits. But just illustrating them would be unhelpful. So when we came to our reading in James today, it was a problem for me. Not many of you should be presumed to be teachers, my brothers and sisters. Because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. That verse is a huge problem to me, because I know I've said things that were wrong. And actually, there are very few people. In fact, I hope there are no people who over years don't grow and change and improve their understanding of the gospel. And if we say you've got to have a perfect understanding of the gospel before you can stand in front of people, we'll have no preachers at all. So over the years, I've come to this way of dealing with it. So I look at the life of Peter. And Peter went on to make many more mistakes. He went on to say many more things that were wrong. But he also went on to say much that was right and helpful and correct. I think we have to be honest about our errors. We have to hold our hands up and say that sometimes we don't always get it exactly right. As a preacher, you should try as hard and study as hard as you can to be correct. Here's what the Bible says. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. We continue to study. We continue to grow. We continue to get better. But how should you, as the hearers, respond to this? Those who hear, I believe, also have a responsibility. Those who preach have a responsibility to study, to do their very best to present God's word correctly. But those who hear also have a responsibility to check that they hear. There's a story in the book of Acts that the Apostle Paul went to Berea. And it says this: "Now the Bereans were of more noble character than those in Thessalonica, for they received the message with great eagerness and examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true." They received the message with great eagerness. They weren't hostile, but they still went away every day and examined the scriptures to check that they heard. As Christians, we have a responsibility to hear and to listen to that which is preached from our pulpits, but to examine the scriptures ourselves to see if that which is declared is true. I have wanted for years, and no deacons have ever let me do it, to put a sign under the pulpit just to say the views expressed in this pulpit may not necessarily be the views of the management. We do our best to preach God's word accurately and correctly. But you have a responsibility too, to examine that which you hear and to go and search the scriptures and check it and confirm it for yourselves. Let's pray together. Our Father, we pray for those who dare to preach your word. Lord, we pray that we may always be faithful to study, open to your spirit moving in our lives to your instruction and your guidance. And we pray for those who hear the word, that they may examine that which they hear and search out for themselves your mind and your guidance and your direction. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.